Good evening. I call this May 10th, 2022 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council to order. My name is Rich Hansen, and I'm glad you joined us this evening. It is my pleasure to introduce the members of the City Council and staff. Hafer, Shank, Wolf. What's your name again? Willis, Rump, and Stewart, and absent are Shepherd and Hall. This is a public meeting, and we invite you to participate in the process. Ask questions, share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable, and we'll do everything we can to make certain that your voice is heard. We have special guests tonight. Our city staff. We have Rod Storm, City Administrator, Aaron Barrow, Assistant City Administrator, Desiree Solomon, City Attorney, Al Shoemaker, Director of Public Works, Joe Lager, Chief of Police, Marion the Librarian, also known as Brooke, our Parks Manager, Pat Long, our Park Board Member, Betsy Anderson, Chairman of the Planning Commission, Daryl Bosiker, and Jeff Bierman, our Zoning Fellow. I think he's got a better title than that, but I just can't think of it right now, so forgive me. Did I miss anyone? Oh, Brenda Wheeler, our City Clerk. Please turn off your cell phones. If you must take a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you. The city clerk must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address as well. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes. A copy of the open meetings law is posted at each end. And now, if you would, please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number 3 is the approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Willis, seconded by Shank to approve the consent agenda.
Members present voting aye.
Motion carries. Item number 4, I'm going to open a public hearing to consider a lot split application submitted by Richard
Volchek,
10917 County Road 27, Blair, for a tract of land located in the northeast quarter of Section 17, Townships 18, North, Range 11 East of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska. Mr. Byerman.
Thank you, and good evening, Mayor Hansen, and good evening, City Council members. For your first consideration tonight, we do have a lot split. As you can see on the quick map here, it's located on the edge of our 2 mile extraterritorial jurisdiction in the western part. The property is zoned right now as Ag, AGG, and will remain that way. Section 705 of the subdivision rules state that a lot split of tax lot parcels in Ag, a lot split allowed where a tax lot tract of parcel has been divided into one tax lot of at least 3 acres, and the second greater than 10 acres may be used divided this way without having to change the zoning or anything like that. So you can divide it or can be divided this way with your approval. Planning Commission voted 7-0 to recommend approval as presented. This is a district overlay. We have RRE here. The rest of it is Ag. The area we're talking about is this area here. This is our ETJ border, and the 1 3-acre split is at the top. 3.01 acres remain 66.85 acres. As you can see by the plat, what they are wanting to split off basically is a farmyard. We have an existing barn. It does meet the current setbacks for Ag, 50 feet from each line. We have a house, septic shed, everything else. This is owned by the Bruce Webster and Richard Volchek and Lyle Christensen Union Trust. It is not part of the Possum Rib subdivision, which is down below. Other than that, like I said, this is remaining is way past 10.0 acres, and then the 3.8 acres here. County Road 22 there, 27 there. With that, are there any questions on this lot split?
Any questions from the public or comments?
Do you have a planning commission?
What's that?
Was there a planning
commission? Yeah, they read
it. Was.
I forgot.
Yeah, 7-2-0-2-2 accept as presented.
If not, I will close the hearing.
I'll make a motion to approve the lot split application submitted by Richard Volchek as presented.
Second.
Moved by Wolf, seconded by Shank to approve the lot split as presented.
All council members present voting aye.
I will now open a public hearing to consider a preliminary plat application submitted by Yampa Valley Properties, LLC, 1444 North Nye Avenue, Fremont, Nebraska, for the Tilson's Trail subdivisions, lot 1 and 2, being a platting of tax lot 206 lying in the southwest quarter of the northwest quarter of section 10, township 18, range north, range 11 east, and the 6 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, also known as 11654 Olive Branch Lane.
So your second planning commission item tonight is the preliminary plat subdivision. It's located approximately 1 mile west of Blair on Highway 91, in that area there. It is being proposed by Yampa Valley LLC. The current zoning is ag, agricultural district, and the subdivision will need to be rezoned if the preliminary plat is approved. And unlike our previous tax split, a lot split, because this area is smaller than the minimum acreage, it does need to go into a different district, probably RRE afterwards, because lot 1 will be 3.34 acres and lot 2 will be 6.67 acres. Minimum acreage for a parcel out in ag is 10 acres. All buildings on lot 1, which has the buildings existing, meet the current and proposed zoning requirements, which would be RRE. There are no buildings on lot 2. Both lots meet the current subdivision requirements for a small subdivision. The Planning Commission voted 7-2-0 to recommend this preliminary plat approval as submitted. A little bit about the property. Here is our zoning. We have RL here. This is the edge of Blair as it is. RRE down here. The rest of this is ag. The area we're talking about is 11654, which is an existing house right now. 11632 is not part of this. That was split off a while ago. It is not part of this preliminary plat for the subdivision. This shows the area to be subdivided. Again, 11632 is not part of that. This is an easement that allows people here to get to this area here. This is the preliminary plat. As you can see, lot 1 is right here with the existing buildings. There is a 30-foot driveway that does attach or does meet up with Highway 91 to give it public access. Lot 2 also will be along 91, also has public access, which is required in our subdivision lots. However, they still remain an easement for both parcels. Lot 2 has worked into new easements for their property, so the intent, I believe, is to sell lot 1 to the current renter, and of course, everybody at lot 2 a chance to have their easement, not have to move the road. This is a better definition of the two lots. Lot 1 is here, you can see the 30 feet. And then lot 2 is here. This is a breakout of lot 1 showing the existing buildings. This is the existing easement that goes across here. This is owned by Yampa Valley. It does show the existing buildings. This shows lot 2. There are no buildings on that. It does have access here and here. Of course, they will have their easements, which are a private contract, basically, between the property owners. And with that, are there any questions on this preliminary plat?
Want it.
And maybe Rod too, but yeah. So if it gets rezoned, it's to RRE to accommodate the split.
It has to go to RRE because it's below the minimum acreage for an ag parcel.
Right, and so you have an RRE that's close to there.
Right.
But are we starting to spot zone just for each one of these, Rod, or what's your opinion?
I think you've got a large enough area there, that's close enough adjacent to the community that it wouldn't be a pure spot zone.
And that's what it looked like to me, but I just wanted to make sure we weren't just randomly spot zoning stuff. As much work as we put into our zoning. I'm not against this, by the way, I'm just asking that question.
Thanks. Any other comments or questions? Any comments or questions from the public? Okay.
Ed Talbot, representing Yampa, TALBOT. Just a little clarification on this. Yampa Valley is selling lot one to Lincoln Tilson. That is the Tilson residence. He's lived there for a long time. His stepmother actually owned tax lot 203 before it was sold. Patty and Ron Kopik live on tax lot 203. At the planning commission meeting, they had some questions about the easement. It's a perpetual easement, runs to that north line of their property. There are two actual easements on this property. There's one that runs a little bit to the east, and that is for access to Yampa Valley for further development. If that would happen somewhere in the future, that easement goes away, but the one that runs to the north line of tax lot 203 would remain in place. The access to lot 2 is essentially an easement running to the west and then down to Highway 91 per city code as far as that 30-foot wide easement. And the only purpose of this split is to sell that tax lot 1 to Lincoln Tilson. Any questions?
Well, now that you said Lincoln Tilson.
To some other person. just kidding. No. If he's worked on your car, I'm sorry. So.
Yeah. No, he's done a great job.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Talbot. Any other comments or questions from the public? If not, I'll close the hearing.
I move to approve the preliminary plat application submitted by Yampa Valley LLC as presented.
Second.
Moved by Stewart, second by Rump to approve the Yampa Valley preliminary plot plan as presented.
Members present voting aye.
Item number 7, the motion carries, excuse me. Item number 7, consider a request from Brent Fulmer representing Thor to construct an additional flow jump line loop to Black Elk Trail beside the Prairie Downhill Trail section and request of $5,000 in Keno and or trail funds for construction of pump track approved at the April 26, 2022 meeting.
Brent Fulmer, I live here in Blair at 1403 Wright Street.
Could you spell your last name for us?
F-U-L-L-M-E-R.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So I don't want to spend too much time on this. I think we had a good presentation on this here last week. Presentation on this last time around, so I don't spend too much time on this. So I condensed this down to a simpler presentation. But this, the scope of this particular presentation is just the improvements for this year that we'd like to do. The first one being the new flow jump line on the Prairie Downhill section, and then the pump track for a local park that we'll be doing the additional, doing the fundraising for this year. So the flow jump line will be on this portion of the trail. If you're familiar with Black Elk, this is what used to be a little star pad. Right here, and then this is the existing golfing areas right here. So this is what I've called the Prairie Downhill section of the trail. So this will be just a little loop that comes off of that, where I put in some tabletop jumps, and then it'll be a quickly return right back up to the same spot right here, so people can do sectioning of this existing section of trail and work on their skills. It'll start with what's called a filter, so it'll be a drop on it. So it'll be about a 2-foot drop on this that will let people know what they're getting into, so they don't. So people who aren't up to doing this sort of a feature won't get onto this section of trail, and then we'll have the tabletops, a berm turning corner, and then 2 more tabletops, and then the trail and back up to there. The pump track is going to be what's called the speed ring. This is a 53-by-20-foot, just a oval track that you purchase. It will be made out of concrete. It's geared towards younger riders from 4 to 12 to help them learn balance and learn how to quarter on their bicycles. And then place it somewhere next to an existing city park here in town. The objective this year would be to fundraise the needed funds to get this done, and then we would do the installation sometime next year. And then, of course, we're asking for some seed money from the city to help start that process on this. And that's the condensed version. So if you have other questions, then we can discuss those.
Okay. Rob?
Okay, Mayor, Council, at the last meeting, the Council did approve, as you know, going ahead with both projects. We took no action on the funding. We checked with the foundation to try to determine how much in the trail funds. For those of you not familiar, a number of years ago, they had a trails committee that had a few fundraisers that they raised funds for the trails, and that fund was held at the chamber through their checking funds and so forth. Here, several years ago, after the foundation was up and running and so forth, the chamber transferred that fund over to the foundation. So it's not a trails fund that we have in our account, so we could say there's X amount of dollars in it. We tried to find out from the foundation, one, who has control over how those funds are spent, are those that are requests. We just aren't sure how that's set up. So Aaron's still working with them trying to get that piece of it. What I would recommend is that if the council wanted to consider approving $5,000 of Keno toward the project and up to $5,000 of the trail funds if there are funds that we can request from the foundation so that they could then use that for a seat to work on trying to get further contributions and so forth.
So tonight we only need to worry about what we could allocate from the Keno fund until we find out information from...
Well, I think your action tonight would be to go ahead and approve $5,000 from the Keno, and if there's any funds available that the city can access there, okay. Up to $5,000 of that. If they're not for us to divvy out, then right. They get the $5,000 instead of $10,000.
Okay. So that's not written in the motion that Andrew's seen, so we just need
to. She just put that on the agenda for Keno and or trail funds.
All right, so I have another question. So we're recommending $5,000
each
from the Keno fund. And so my follow-up question from that would be, has that been a specific amount requested, or is that based upon other things we know needs to come out of the Keno, or where did that number come from?
But their request was last 2 weeks ago was for $5,000 from the trail fund.
Okay.
But what we're suggesting is $5,000 out of Keno.
Okay.
If there's trail funds in the trail fund, another $5,000, which would be a total of $10,000.
Okay.
Instead of the $5,000 that they requested.
Okay. And I think, if I remember right, last time you mentioned it, you didn't foresee a problem. Y'all were pretty confident you could raise the additional funds.
Yeah, we have additional. So there's quite a few trail foundations and quite a bit of work being done down the Omaha area that is dedicated towards these sorts of projects. So
okay.
I'm confident I can raise that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Andrew. Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Excuse me.
Any questions or comments from the public?
Are we supposed to hear? hear from the park board on this one too?
I think they approved it. Well, they did. We did 2 weeks ago. We heard from them. Yeah, yeah. So basically, this is the money bid.
Yeah, it's just listed on here.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Is that your motion?
Not yet.
Okay.
We good?
That's John.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve for Thor to construct an additional flow jump line loop to Black Elk Trail beside the Prairie Downhill Trail section and approve $5,000 in Keno funds and or trail funds up to $5,000 for construction of a pump track.
Second.
Moved by Rupp, seconded by Stewart to approve the request from Thor for their trail and jump or pump track. Okay, it's a long way from my Schwinn. Motion carries. Item number 8, Mr. Shoemaker, is consider bids received for the purchase of chemicals at the city's water treatment plant for next year.
I'll make a motion to receive and place on file the bids for the purchase of chemical bids at the city's water treatment plant.
Second.
Moved by Rupp, seconded by Shank to approve and place on file the bids for the city's water treatment plant.
All members present voting aye.
Evening, Mayor, council members. Just have the one item for you this evening. We did take bids as we do annually for most of the chemicals that we use at our water treatment plant. We've done this now for about 5 years due to the size of the budget item that this ends up being and how much chemical we end up having to purchase each year. You have in your council packet this evening the same memo that's up on the screen here this evening with a bid tab showing the bids received and the prices that we received for those bids. Pretty much everything went up, and we expected that. Some things went up more than others. Chlorine jumped quite a little bit, over 25%, almost 30%. Sodium permanganate's up quite a little bit. So there is not only price increases that's real that we always hear about every day in the media and so forth, but there's also been some real supply chain issues here as well with it. I shared with the Water and Sewer Committee this evening. I did receive an email last Friday from our CO2 supplier telling us that they were declaring a force majeure, which they had to be trucking in their chemical from the East Coast versus locally, and for that they were charging an additional $40 a ton extra surcharge for that. So I've asked the plant supervisor not to buy any of that chemical that was supposed to expire today. I've not gotten an email confirming that, but hopefully that'll expire here very shortly. But we were in pretty good shape. But those are just some of the challenges that we're going to be facing going forward here, I'm afraid. As I've heard from other plant managers, that chlorine is a real product that is short supply, and some places have had real challenges in getting it. So just kind of a heads up, right now we're not experiencing any major challenges with supply, but those are possibilities. But we do have a realistic issue of some increased cost here. I know Rod asked me this evening. I have not had a chance to run the numbers yet, but we're probably looking at between $100,000 and $200,000 increase in our overall budget for chemicals. Right now we spend about $1 million, $1.1 million a year for the chemicals. So this will add about 10-15% to that total budget item going into the next fiscal year. These prices and these purchases will be effective June 1, expiring May 31st, 2023. I've been doing 1 year. We've talked about doing multi-year. Most of the vendors are not overly interested in that because they have trouble getting their prices locked in for that long of a period. So it seems like the 1 year is best suited for us and our vendors at this point in time. I won't go through each one of the line items here, but every one of them that are highlighted in bold here are the low bidders. There's only been two changes in suppliers as a result of this bidding. The aluminum sulfate will go from Univar to Thatcher, and the sodium permanganate will go from Hawkins to Univar. So those are the only two actual supplier changes that we're going to have. The rest of them will hold the same as you as they were for this past year. So with that, again, this was presented to the Water and Sewer Committee for their review and recommendation. Is there any questions for me?
Committee report?
We met on it. And we agree with Al. I mean, one-year contract's about the best we can do right now.
Okay.
Needs to be done.
Do you want to move that, John?
Yeah, I'm going to get back up to the top here. How's it got it? Move to approve a chemical contract for all the low bidders of each chemical for the water treatment plant for next year.
Second.
Moved by Stewart, second by Willis to approve the water chemical bids for the next year.
All members present voting aye.
I apologize if we have any chemists in the room. I did not ask if anybody wanted to address this issue. So, before I forget it, in our consent agenda tonight, we approved Mr. Mark Hodson to be on the fire department, and it's a welcome addition. I can tell you that. He's a good citizen. Item number 9.
Congrats.
Consider an ordinance amending the Blair City Municipal Code, Chapter 8, Article 4, Section 410.01, and Chapter 10, Article 21, Section 2104, concerning the public's access to a free tree and shrub disposal location within the city of Blair. Okay, Mr. Storm.
Mayor and Council, you have before you a proposed ordinance. If you remember back at the retreat, we had some discussion on the tree disposal pile and how large it has gotten grown over the years and how long it takes to actually do all that chipping and so forth, that we seem to be getting a lot of material, we think, from out of town, from people that not residents of Blair. We've got contractors that are disposing of trees and limbs in the stockpile, and the city of Blair is asking to deal with getting rid of that, the chipping costs and so forth. I think our costs have probably, tripled over the last couple of years. Just because of all the additional that we've been getting. So what we are proposing here is a proposed ordinance that would give a little more teeth into hopefully being able to regulate it. We're not asking anybody to sit there to be, lack of a better term, the tree disposal sheriff or anything of that nature, but at least gives them an opportunity that when there's legislation available so that if we have employees that see people down there dumping that are out of Blair license plates or contractors and so forth, they can contact somebody with City Hall or they can contact a law enforcement officer or somebody to be able to, better term, pursue, ticket that engine. Our whole goal in this is to be able to preserve that for the average citizen that goes out in their yard and has to trim their tree so that they've got a place to take and get rid of it. It's not to make it difficult for anybody, but to allow people that just don't have someplace else to go that does their own trimming their trees and so forth, that they've got at least a place to take it without having to try to take a pickup load at a time to the Douglas County landfill or wherever. So in the proposed ordinance, you'll see that the primary changes are in 8.410.01. City of Blair may, at its own discretion, designate a location, date, time for residents and or businesses to dispose of trees and shrubs. If the City of Blair designates a location, date, time for disposal of trees or shrubs, that only Blair residents or Blair businesses that are not contractors, landscapers, or tree trimmers, or tree removers may dispose of trees and shrubs. Stumps shall not be larger than 36 inches in diameter. And again, we've got some quite large that are too large to put through the chipper. And so therefore then we end up paying to load those and truck them off someplace and get rid of them. Going on then, that next key section, I think, would be that a Blair resident or business may only utilize the City of Blair site for tree shrub located on Blair residence or business property and not on any other third party's property. So again, the guy that's out there cutting his own tree The guy that has his son, daughter, or somebody come over and help him trim trees, get cut. They got a place to get rid of them. And I think that was the intent of the council back many years ago when we first started that, was to give people a place to at least dispose of those. Moving then on in the ordinance is down in section 10.2104, would be adding language that if a license holder violates section 8.4.10.1 of the code, that his or her license may be suspended or revoked by the board for violation regardless of whether the person was convicted in court or not. If the board finds that the preponderance of the evidence that the license holder violated the section in the code. In other words, we have tree trimmers. Anybody that's cutting trees in town has to have a tree trimmer's license. They cannot take their cuttings and so forth down to that site. They have to get rid of them wherever they, as a professional business, where they would take them. If we catch somebody that the tree trimmer, license trimmer, that is violating that and disposing of it, then they could lose their ability to cut and trim trees and so forth in the city under this ordinance. My recommendation to you as a council tonight is, if the council agrees with the ordinance, that you consider passing it on first reading and allowing the paper to put something in to that what you're considering, you know, as far as an ordinance, and then come back in 2 weeks and either pass it on second reading or pass it on second and third at that time. Any questions for me?
If a licensed tree trimmer is hired by the city to trim trees or to dispose of trees, can they use this facility, or are they subject to the same?
We would probably have them dispose of it because we're paying that bill anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
our contract specifically says that, but they have to dispose
okay.
it.
Okay. That they have to dispose it
on their own,
even if the city hires them.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
That's a great question.
Has there been any consideration given to placing one or two cameras up down there in a conspicuous way to at least give the appearance that there is being recording of what activity?
And we can look at that, you know, again, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. You could post, you could fence it and put somebody down there, but there's an extra cost to that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to unlock the gate and have check everybody coming in, you got to have somebody sit there and you're going to have to pay them and so
yeah.
forth. So there's a cost to that. Whether that cost benefit would be there or not, we can look at that.
Yeah, okay.
So there will be no booth in your estimation with the new job like the dump?
What's that?
There'll be no booth there with the new job like the dump used to be.
Any other questions for Mr. Storm? Any comments or questions from the public? If not,
I'll introduce ordinance number 2480.
An ordinance to amend the Blair City Municipal Code, Chapter 8, Article 4, Section 41001, and Chapter 10, Article 21, Section 2104, by amending and adding new sections concerning the public's access to free tree and shrub disposal location within the City of Blair, and establishing penalties, establishing a method for suspension or termination of a tree camera license, or repeal not ordinance parts and ordinance conflict herewith, providing this one should be full force in effect and published in pamphlet form.
Move passing ordinance number 2480 on first reading.
Second.
The question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2480 be passed and adopted on first reading? Please register your vote.
All members present voting aye.
Motion carries for the first reading. Rod, do you have anything else to add?
Just real quick, I want to point out that the council know that on our boat dock project, we're working with the contractor, Kizik, their subcontractor, to get those pilings and so forth driven. We've got the piling bought, they're there. The only problem is we've run into a glitch with getting the dock itself built, and delivered. Reamers out of Minnesota was supposed to be furnishing the dock. They were the only one that bid it. Once we got the drawings from them that of how they were going to construct it and so forth, it was not how it was designed. It was using different material. It was supposed to be wood or composite wood. They were going to provide the plastic. We asked for more information. They informed us last week that they're backing out and not going to build that. So I have authorized HGM to go ahead and solicit a couple of the other contractors that they were working with prior to bidding to see if they can get them to give us a quote for building what was spec'd for that project. So will be some delay in doing that. We'll get them built. It just, you know, there's going to be some inconvenience probably all most of the summer if we go ahead with putting the piling in. The advantage of the piling now, it's going to cost probably half the cost to get it driven while we've got people on site than if we have to bring them back 6 months or a year from now to do it. So we'll have to figure out how to live with that inconvenience the best we can.
Okay. So you drive the piling and then you'll set the dimensions and then they'll have to make sure the dock matches right. The piling.
And we've got HGM, when they get ready to drive them, they're actually going to survey them in so that we get them with the tolerance so that it would flow it up and down.
And there should be some slack there.
But. So that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Holly?
Motion to adjourn.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned.